The Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 6, and reading together verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Chapter 23. Reading together from verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. And finally, Luke's Gospel, in chapter 14. Reading from verse number 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Now we trust the Lord will bless to us these readings from his word. Three firsts. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Cleanse first that which is within. And then here we have in Luke's Gospel the exhortation by the Lord Jesus Christ to first count the cost. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. These words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, how important to put God first. You know, there are many people in the world today and they don't intend to neglect their soul's salvation and they don't intend to neglect spiritual things forever. They would hope to be in heaven one day. But what are they doing? They're putting other things first. Putting their own interests first. There was a dear man came to the Lord Jesus Christ while here upon earth and he says, Lord, I will follow thee, but suffer me first. You see, it wasn't the Lord's interests he had at heart. It was his own interests. And you know, that is natural to the heart of man. Man is, by nature, a very selfish, self-centered creature. We all have this tendency. A tendency to be occupied with our own interests and our own things. But oh, how important, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, dear friend, when I think of the solemn issues at stake, how important. What does this really mean, to seek first the kingdom of God? Does that mean that I put my business to the one side? Does that mean that my family must take second place? Does that mean that my exams must have second place? Does that mean that my education is not important? What does the Lord say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The most important thing, so far as you are concerned, is to get your soul saved and to get right with God. Put God's kingdom first. Oh, dear friend, I cannot emphasize that as strongly as I would like to this evening, because it is so important. We're not talking about things of time now. We're talking about things for eternity. Remember, so far as this life is concerned, even at the best, it will soon slip away. The Word of God tells us, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. A few years at best, and we will have gone the way of all the earth. My dear young friend, this evening, could I encourage you to make God's things first. To put the question of your soul's salvation above everything else in the world. Tell me, if you get that exam, or you get that position in business, if you get that promotion and lose your soul, what will it mean? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Ah, let me tell you, dear friend, that soul of yours is of more value than all the world. It's far more important than your education. Far more important than getting on in business. Far more important than making money. And if you read the context of these portions we have read, you will find that it's more important than your family. More important even than your own family. Oh, I wonder, is there one in the meeting tonight? And you know you need to be saved. But you've been putting it off. You've been procrastinating. You're thinking, well, if I don't get saved in these meetings, I'll get saved in the next meetings. If I don't get saved this weekend, well, I'll maybe get saved next weekend. My dear young friend, God's word is seek first. Seek first. I don't know what your plans are for the week ahead. It may be that you have something in mind and you feel, well, if you got saved tonight, if you got saved this weekend, it would spoil your plans. Seek first, dear friend. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What a calamity if you should miss God's salvation. Oh, I tell you this evening, push your companions to the one side. Forget about those plans and those ambitions. Go in for God's salvation with all your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ said, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and shut to the door, then shall you begin to stand without and to knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. My friend, I cannot tell the future. Not one in this company have any guarantee of another 7 days. We have announced meetings, but we have announced them in the will of God. It may be before these meetings close, the Lord will have come. And so that is why we emphasize this evening, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I remember the time that I got saved. I made up my mind, I'm going to get God's salvation in these meetings, whatever the cost. And I put everything else to the one side. I can recall a cousin of mine studying for their Bachelor of Arts degree. And it was just a few weeks to the final exams. Special meetings came to the district. And yet her father told her, you go in for God's salvation, never mind the exams. And so she did. And she got saved, and her two sisters as well. And she got her degree. For God has promised, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to the Pharisees, He emphasized the necessity of first cleansing within. You see, man generally are more interested in the outward thing. Generally, people today are interested in impressing their neighbors, or impressing the people that go to their church, or impressing the brethren. But I want to tell you, dear friend, there's something far more important. You know, outward reformation is not sufficient. I could have absolutely everything in order outwardly, but if I'm going to be in God's kingdom, and I'm going to have a place in heaven, I must have a change in here. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about in John chapter 3 when He says, ye must be born again. You know, it's a change of mind and a change of heart that we need. I could reform my life, and I could seek to stop certain practices that I might feel are not very becoming. But it's something more than that that I need if I'm going to get into God's heaven. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you this evening, you need a change. You need to be born again. You need an inward cleansing. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to transform that life of yours. He's able to remove that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. He is able, dear friend, to give you that which is absolutely necessary to stand before God. You know, these Pharisees, they were so occupied with the outward thing, so occupied with impressing the people around them. And inwardly, the Lord addresses them as just hypocrites. You see, they weren't genuine. Oh, they had their language all right. They had the right language. And they could stand at the corner of the streets and pray and impress the people. And they had the different garb that distinguished them from all others to impress. But the Lord is seeking to emphasize the necessity for a change of heart. It was to Nicodemus, a very religious man, that the Lord said, "Ye must be born again." I wonder, dear friend, as you sit in the meeting this evening, if you have had this experience. Because this is a real experience. You know, it's a real thing to have dealings with God. It's a real thing to be born of the Spirit of God. It's a real thing to be on your way to heaven and home and eternal glory. And I want to tell you this evening, I wouldn't like to be drifting through life, imagining that all was well and trying to impress others, and all the time not right in here. Oh, the importance of putting first things first. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, in this final portion that we read together, He encourages them to sit down first and count the cost. Now, you will notice that He wasn't too concerned about the big crowds. He wasn't too concerned about reducing the numbers. We find that in the very early part of our Bible, away back in the book of Judges. Gideon had 32,000 men, and the Lord reduced them to 10, and then to 300. But you will find that as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to these people, in all honesty and in all faithfulness and with all clarity, instead of reducing the numbers increased. Because in the context of the passage, you will find, we don't read very far, until the publicans and the sinners, they sought His company. Ah, dear friend, this evening, I want you to count the cost. You know, to become a Christian, to turn from your sin, and to have this real experience, it can be costly. It may mean that you will have to give up some of those companions that you have counted very dear for some years. It will mean that you will have to turn your back upon an ungodly world. I have known some, you know, and they told me that they would go in for salvation, but the problem was, if they got saved, they'd have to change their job. And they weren't too sure about the future and weren't too sure about employment. You see, they weren't prepared to pay the price. They weren't prepared for the cost. I wonder, are you this evening? The Lord says, sit down first and count the cost. Count the cost. Ah, dear friend, I want to tell you this evening, while it might be costly to turn your back upon your companions and turn your back upon the world and maybe even have to give up your job, and I know I've known of some dear believers, and they have been turned out from their families and turned out from their home, and I have known someone it has cost them even more because they have been disinherited, in some cases of quite a large inheritance. But like that dear young lady who sat down at the piano, when her father said to her, if you're going to continue to go to these meetings, and you're going to get this salvation, you'll have to leave home. And she went up and she packed her bag. But before she left the home, she sat down to play. And she played that lovely hymn, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords to me. Ah, dear friend, when her father saw that the Lord Jesus Christ meant so much to her, his heart was broken. And it was the means of her father getting saved as well. There's no telling the blessing it might be to others if you were to get saved tonight. I wonder, are you prepared for the cost? But oh, what a calamity if you miss God's salvation. What a calamity, dear friend, if you turn your back upon the Savior. The cost will be greater. To lose your soul eternally. Friend, I want to tell you this evening, words are inadequate to express the dreadful loss and the awful calamity, so far as you are concerned, if you leave this world without Christ and go out into the great forever, to miss heaven, to miss glory, to miss that eternal blessing, and to finish under the judgment of God. My dear friend, I implore of you this evening, in light of eternity, turn from your sin. Allow nothing to keep you from God's salvation. Be prepared to say with the hymn writer, "My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. I will go." Friend, is that the language of your heart this evening? You're prepared to pay the price. You're not concerned anymore what the boys at school will think or the girls will think in your class. You're not concerned anymore what the world may say. You're prepared to turn your back upon everything that the world would offer to obtain God's salvation and be sure of a place in heaven. My dear friend, I want to tell you, if you're there tonight, you're near the kingdom. There was a dear man that the Lord spake to, and he said, "Thou art not very far from the kingdom of God." Oh, I do trust that there's someone there tonight, prepared to cast everything aside and put God first, and God's salvation first, and God's kingdom first. And God's interest first. And the salvation of your soul first. My friend, let me tell you, if you're willing to come in all your need, just as a lost sinner, and put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died upon the cross and who lives again, in the words of our text last night, he's able to save. Able to save to the uttermost all who will come. Not only able to save, but he's able to keep. Many a one has been concerned, "Well, you know, if I trusted Christ, maybe I couldn't keep it." I want to tell you, dear friend, you won't have to keep it, because it will keep you. Then why not tonight? Make the wise choice. The choice is yours. I speak reverently this evening. God has done all he can. He gave his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone to the cross and shed his precious blood to provide salvation. And it's offered to you this evening as a free gift. And the choice is yours. Oh, to think, dear friend, that your eternal destiny hinges on your attitude to the Christ of God. Tell me, are you prepared to accept him? Or are you going to reject him? Are you prepared to trust my Savior this evening? If you are, he's ready, and he's willing, and he's able to save. May the Lord bless us.